Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The chairman of the state parole board is gearing up for his second confirmation fight in 3 years. That's because the chair, Joshua Wall, has been nominated by Governor Patrick to become a Superior Court judge. The state board that decides on the governor's nominations has pushed back its review of Wall while members consider all the opposition to him. WBUR's David Boeri reports the opposition centers on Wall's record both on the parole board and as an assistant district attorney.
Josh Wall made his name and, critics say, his reputation prosecuting and winning convictions in high-profile, high-tension cases of gang-related murders in the inner city. During an 18-year stint with a Suffolk County district attorney, he was passionate, tireless, thoroughly prepared. When the first two trials of the two alleged killers of a college kid, an innocent bystander named Cedric Steele, ended in mistrials, Wall took over. He prosecuted the third trial in 2010 and won two convictions.
How many shots do you think he fired at this innocent young man? One, two, three, eight. Eight shots.
In late 2010, when a career criminal out on early parole murdered a Woburn police officer, Governor Deval Patrick needed to cap the public fallout. He made Josh Wall chairman of the parole board and forced five board members to resign. But now that Patrick has picked Wall to be a Superior Court judge, some big-name criminal defense attorneys from his courtroom days say what Prosecutor Wall did back then makes him unfit for the job.
This has in it the attitude that I've described earlier as winning at all costs, doing any and everything possible to win.
Willie Davis has practiced law for 52 years. He's even served as a federal magistrate judge. He commands wide respect. Over the years, he's recommended many nominees. He's never opposed anyone. Until now. Davis plans to testify before the Governor's Council about only one case. He says that alone is enough to disqualify Wall. In 2004, two defendants went on trial charged with the murder of a 10-year-old girl killed in the crossfire of a shootout between rival gangs. After 4 days, the jury acquitted one defendant. It was going into its fifth day deliberating about the other, who was Davis's client, when Josh Wall did a criminal background check of the jurors.
Why would you then want to investigate that jury unless you had in mind finding something that would enable you to move for a mistrial, and which meant that the case was over and you'd have to start all over again?
Wall discovered that five jurors had not revealed their criminal history on jury questionnaires before the trials. After he informed the judge, she dismissed each one of those jurors until there were too few to deliberate. Then she declared a mistrial. Davis is convinced Wall wanted to stop the jury before it might acquit his client. He claims there was no evidence the jurors told intentional lies.
What Josh did under those circumstances, given the information that he had, was entirely proper.
That's Dan Conley, the district attorney for Suffolk County, who supervised Josh Wall for 9 years and made him first assistant.
The Superior Court judge said so, and the Supreme Judicial Court said so as well.
Indeed, the SJC declared in its 2007 ruling that Wall did not intend to cause a mistrial. But the belief Wall values convictions more than fair trials has galvanized other well-known attorneys. At the coming hearing, Bernard Grossberg says he'll testify that Wall as a judge can't be expected to impose rules he didn't respect as a prosecutor. Others have described what they call a pattern of excluding young black men from juries. And Rosemary Scapiccio says she will testify that Wall withheld important evidence for a year and a half from a defendant convicted of four murders.
I would not want him to be in a position of making decisions on exculpatory evidence for defendants whose life hangs in the balance.
Yet Josh Wall's supporters describe an altogether different figure who's ethical, fair, and compassionate.
When he was first assistant, sometimes if I got what I considered to be unreasonable recommendation from one of the assistant DAs, he was always the voice of reason. He was always the one you could turn to.
Defense attorney Michael Doolin says he always found Walt to be forthcoming and transparent. Doolin worked on a committee led by Wall that reformed the collection of eyewitness evidence. It reduced the possibility of wrongful convictions due to mistaken identifications. Those new guidelines Wall turned into a manual for prosecutors drew praise from one national expert as the gold standards. And the district attorney, Dan Connolly, cites Wall's embrace of post-conviction forensic testing as proof of his commitment to just outcomes.
He's made a lot of tough decisions that maybe some people disagree with, but that were based on the facts and the law, and that's exactly the kind of judge that we want to see.
The governor's council, which confirms or rejects the governor's nominee for a judgeship, has taken notice of the strong opinions about Wall. Counselor Michael Albano.
You have to be impressed. I've been around a while in government. I've never seen this type of opposition.
Citing the number and the intensity of letters and phone calls about Wall, the council has moved his confirmation hearing from this month to mid-September to allow 2 days of testimony. This group of adversaries from Wall's courtroom days will then join another set of Wall's opponents, those critical of how the parole board has acted under his leadership. Letters to counselors indicate those opponents will testify about what they say is a lack of fairness that has turned the parole board into a denial board. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.